Hearts Unveiled, Nurturing Marital Intimacy, Part 3, Curiosity, Episode 154. Welcome to the Awaken You podcast, where we break down relationship barriers by awakening your true you. I'm Coach Christine, and the two of us will be doing this work together because this process isn't about changing your partner. It's about discovering who you are so you can awaken you in your marriage. Welcome, my Awaken You friends, to another week of learning how to do the work of changing your marriage without changing your spouse. This week, I want to continue the conversation I started way back in the beginning of the month. Does that seem like forever ago already? That conversation was about how to nurture marital intimacy, and to just do a little overview of what I have talked about. That very first in the series was about the four aspects of marital intimacy, which are differentiation, the idea that in a marriage, we are two different human beings with different thoughts that run through our minds. We're just two different people, and we can never, ever know what our spouses are thinking. We can make up stories based on our state of mind and our knowings, but we can never know what they're thinking. Then, of course, there is curiosity, which is what I'm going to talk about today. Curiosity is knowing that we both think differently and choosing to open up to the uncertainty that comes from diving into how their mind is thinking, right? How their mind is working. Then the third is vulnerability, which I talked about last week. Go check that one out. So good. Vulnerability, my word of the year. How many times will I tell you that? And of course, vulnerability is that courage to open up and lean into uncertainty, risk, and emotional exposure. Then there is the last, maybe we'll call them pillars to intimacy in marriage, and that is empathy, being willing to open up to seeing the world through their eyes. As I mentioned last week, I opened up the box to the possibility of sharing a vulnerable moment from my life with you each week. Let's see how this goes. This week, my vulnerable share will actually be part of this discussion on curiosity with a recent example, a couple nights ago recent, that escalated an exchange between Jeff and I. Can't wait to share it. So the first place, of course, that I turned when I started thinking about what to share with you about curiosity is, of course, Brené Brown's Atlas of the Heart. And she talks about curiosity as one of the places that we go when things are beyond us, which makes so much sense, right? With our partners, like, we don't understand what is it they are thinking. So it's beyond us. And curiosity, when we grab onto curiosity, that can help us maybe put things together. In the very first paragraph about curiosity, she says, "It turns out that curiosity is an irreducible component of courageous leadership." How's that for interesting? Last week, while talking about vulnerability, we talked about vulnerability being the prerequisite for all daring leadership behaviors. And now she's talking and saying that curiosity is one of the elements needed to equip yourself with the courage to be vulnerable. Makes so much sense, right? In order for us to take on that courage, curiosity is what kind of propels us forward. And maybe first there's some interest, and then that interest develops into curiosity that then gives us that courage to be vulnerable. And when we talk about leadership here on the podcast, we are talking about the leadership role that you play, that I play in our marriages, the ones who are stepping into the role of changing the marital dynamic, of changing your marriage's future. Brené also ties in interest, which I mentioned a little bit ago, into the curiosity conversation by saying that curiosity is really recognizing a gap in our knowledge about something that is interesting to us. And of course, our interest object in this conversation we're having today is our partner. And the gap in knowledge is our lack of understanding as to why they're acting the way they're acting or saying things that we're not understanding, why they're saying them a way that has us arguing with their action or inaction, right? And when we can create some space, when we can be more conscious and less unconscious and just falling into old behaviors, old patterns, that is when we can pause and get curious. Then she goes on to say that curiosity has us becoming emotionally and cognitively invested in closing that gap through exploration and learning. And so when you really decide that you're going to choose this marriage, that you're going to choose this person that you've chosen to be married to, when you actually commit to choosing them, that is when you can say, I am emotionally and cognitively invested in learning more about my spouse, getting to understand them better. And that, of course, the whole thing we're talking about, that increases intimacy. Here is where we can pause and think about a behavior you see in your spouse that you don't like. Just think of one. Don't take too long. And so when you come up with this behavior that drives you a little crazy, that you don't like, you have a few options of how to move forward with this behavior. If you think about it, you can argue with it and think that their behavior is wrong. It needs to change. And of course, I am not talking about physical abuse. I am not talking about an abusive relationship. That is outside of this conversation. You can also just pretend it's not there, ignoring it, right? Or you can get curious first in your brain, like, I wonder what he or she is actually thinking. I wonder why they're reacting this way. And then you can find ways to actually ask them about it in a way that doesn't close them down. Interest in their behavior would have our mind open to seeing what is actually there, what is actually happening. Like, this is interesting. Why are they reacting this way? But curiosity goes deeper and, of course, can be riskier. I think that anything we do to increase intimacy in our relationships can be risky. We don't really know how they're going to respond to the way we show up. With curiosity, though, we see a gap in what we know or what we're understanding, like it's not making sense, and our heart and our head are invested in closing that gap. And that comes directly from Atlas of the Heart. And I want to reiterate, our heart and our head are invested in closing that gap. Typically, when we see a behavior we don't like, our heart is closed off. We are thinking cerebrally. We are thinking they're doing something wrong. It must change. We haven't moved into our heart to have some interest, some curiosity, some compassion for what is actually happening inside of them. Here is the thing. In our marriage, curiosity wouldn't be available if we weren't interested, right? But many of us are only interested in what is wrong with our spouse, and our hearts and our heads aren't engaged in closing that gap by asking from a place of love and compassion and desire to know them better, what is happening for them? Why are they acting the way they are? And here's the rub. I'm going to quote Brené again. Choosing to be curious is choosing to be vulnerable because it requires us to surrender to uncertainty. We have to ask questions. We have to admit that we don't know. We're not inside of their brain. There's not a ticker tape that we can read coming out of their ears. We risk being told that we shouldn't be asking, that we should know the answer and maybe even discover something that makes us feel uncomfortable. Like they might tell us something about how we're acting that we need to confront ourselves, that good old self-confrontation, right? Now, in order to get curious in your marriage, you're going to need to remember that no two people think the same about any one topic. And then there is the work of even understanding what it is that has you acting a certain way. Like, why are you showing up the way you're showing up? And then being able to come up with words to convey that in a way that is understandable to somebody else, right? So think about how difficult that is for ourselves, right? Even those of us, myself included, we're putting in the work of understanding who we are, why we act certain ways in certain situations. And we are all in on deciding to take an active role and learning how to show up in a way that aligns with who we want to be, with our values. Now, think about how your spouse is going to do that, okay? Because if they're not investing in digging into themselves, taking that mirror and looking inside of themselves for why they're doing what they're doing, it is going to be hard for them to be able to convey to you what is going on. It is going to be important that you be the love leader. That is why you are the love leader. You are helping them to better understand why they do what they do by sharing what you're learning. Your curiosity will have them reflecting inward and asking themselves the same questions, right? They'll be like, I don't know, why did I act like that? You know, she did this or he did that, and of course I would react that way. Even though their initial reaction to your question, right, might be hostile, they might have a hostile response to your question of why they showed up the way that they showed up. But when you're asking and when you're able to explain your perspective, like what happened for you, which I'm going to share when I share my example, that helps them be like, I wonder. Now, they're probably not going to show that to you, especially if your partner is the masculine in the relationship. They're going to have their guard up. They're not going to want to look weak in front of you. But when they're alone and in the privacy of their own mind, it's possible they'll ask themselves. All right, are you ready for the example? The time has come. So a couple nights ago, Jeff got home from work. I still had one more task to do in my office, which is a commitment that I'm making to myself to do every day, and amazing how it ends up often being the last thing I do in the day, it's transcribing a page of my book project. And so that's what I needed to do. I had short ribs for dinner in the Instapot. I was planning on us having dinner together and discussing some of the things that went down in each of our days, including a messy, messy vet report with my good old Aurora. She is having lots of issues with allergies. $1,000 later, hopefully we have it figured out until it happens again. Anyway, yeah, when he came home, I, you know, told him I still had a little bit to do. I went into my office. I did my thing and then I wrapped up and went up to serve dinner and discovered that Jeff had already eaten the food that was in the Instapot. Now, this wasn't the whole meal. It was just the short ribs and the sauce in the Instapot. There was more to the meal. I don't know. That set me off. Like when I do make a planned meal, which isn't every night, I often actually don't. I make something for lunch. I save part of it for his dinner, and I often don't eat dinner. But when he dives in and eats part of it, I don't know, but it just drives me bananas. So at this point, I'm a bit bothered, right? And I'm not really conscious of what is happening inside of me. I'm not, certainly not conscious of what is coming next. So I'm just like stewing in my disappointment. So I make myself my meal. I sit down to eat and Jeff starts a conversation about the medication for Aurora. Of course, I'm focused on what just happened with dinner. He is obviously, now that I am not in a dysregulated state, and I knew this even afterwards when I started processing what had happened, but he was trying to create connection, right? He was giving bids for connection. What he was saying didn't make sense to me. It didn't align. There was a sheet on the counter with all of the vet's instructions. I don't know. There was like 10 bullet points. There was one product that they recommended I use with her, and it wasn't in stock. There was another product that was sitting on the counter that was recommended, and he was asking if he should go to his vet to get this stuff that they don't have. It wasn't aligned, all right? So the stuff sitting on the counter that he said he wanted, that he was willing to go to his vet and get a replacement for, was not the product that my vet didn't have, right? And it was laid out perfectly in the instructions. So I said, did you read the vet instructions? And you have to remember, I'm emotionally dysregulated at this point. I'm not thinking clearly. He said he did. So then I grabbed the instructions and I read through them and I read the last one. It basically said the name of the product, which I don't remember, and that, you know, it would be 2 to 3 days before they would have it in stock. And the product he was talking about was mentioned on another bullet point. It didn't say anything about them being out of stock of it. Let me just give you some backstory. If you listened to last week's episode, I shared an example of another miscommunication that had us on the odds again. And we have been having discussions recently about interpretations of messages that, like, he's not reading the messages fully. Then to me, it is apparent that he's confused about these vet instructions. He didn't read them fully. So now I'm even more frustrated. Of course, I'm not taking into consideration anything on his part, right? So I'm frustrated and he can tell that I'm frustrated, so he gets defensive. Anyway, it's an argument which I stop at this point because neither of us was in a place to think rationally. He was being defensive. I was being critical. So we stop. We go on with our evening, mostly avoiding each other. Me knowing that I'm processing and I need to cool off. Nothing good is coming for the rest of this evening. I want to wind down. I want to get ready for bed and be able to fall asleep. And I know that I'll take time in the morning to work through it. All of that, now I'm getting to the curiosity part. All of that just to get to the curiosity part. Now, while I'm thinking about the encounter prior to the next morning, it's really during my morning download time that I start to work through the whole scenario. Instead of blaming him and justifying myself, I get curious about what was happening for him. I start remembering how I was acting, not justifying my reactions, right? I just know where I was emotionally. And then I'm taking enough time to then, like, kind of like a slow motion reel, I'm noticing how he's reacting and even seeing like his bid for connection, even though it's not a good one. It's a random run that one that he maybe just pulled out of his pocket, right? And it just led to another argument that was never really fully repaired or dealt with in prior arguments, right? So now I'm thinking about how he was reacting and I'm getting curious. I'm starting to wonder what was going on for him, right? What got him to the point of, well, maybe even further back, like what had him eating dinner without waiting for me? What was he just starving? And maybe that's the deal. Like if he had said, you know, I was just so hungry, I needed to eat something, then fine. But this is not usually the way my husband is, right? This is not the norm. He often doesn't eat for quite a while after he gets home. So anyway, I can get curious about, like, I wonder what was happening for him. And like I said earlier, my download started with looking at what happened for me. Like, how did I get to this place where I was angry about the fact that he hadn't really read the instructions, even though he said he did? He didn't read them thoroughly. And what got me there? Being able to see how I got to that place and how I really wasn't able to respond from a good place. What I learned from this is that I could have just, like, stayed present, noticed I was dysregulated, and just said right then and there, you know what? I don't want to talk about that right now. I'm not in the mental state to do so, right? Then from there, I worked that part on my own, and then I started thinking about his reaction and, like, getting curious about his reaction. And then this is where our conversation will go when we talk about it tonight. I'll talk about what happened for me, not as an excuse, but just giving background information, how I was dysregulated and should not have reacted. I will ask for forgiveness and I will forgive him for how he reacted. I'll share that I'm working on creating this wider gap with my reaction time. I want to learn this year to be less reactive and more contemplative and getting more curious about what might be happening on the other side. And I'm going to ask him what it felt like to go through that experience from his end. What was he going through? What was he feeling? What was that like for him? And then asking him what he needs to feel like the repair process is done and complete. Because I will tell you right now, it feels icky. Like I'm able to just like, okay, I know we're going to work through this, but it's unresolved and it doesn't feel good. I don't like it. And the not so funny thing is that this used to be life. Not even my awareness was not where it is right now, but like I would react, he would react. It's just a back and forth. And then there's just that thickness in the air for days and days and days. It just eventually, well, we say it goes away, but it doesn't go away. And that's why the relationship just keeps getting torn apart. So in that example, there was a lot, right? I know. I cover a lot, though, of what I teach about repairing conflict. And part of that process is the getting curious part about what happened for first yourself and what happened for them. And that is my vulnerable share. Everybody, you get a peek inside our household. We are all works in progress, my loves. And when we're able to mindfully reflect back on what happened in the moment, what led up to that moment, and then how we can change moving forward, that is how we grow and improve. Your relationship is never going to be perfect if you're growing and you're pushing yourself past your current limits. Remember that to get to this point of curiosity, you have to have maneuvered through that process of untangling your relationship with your partner, meaning you are not looking for them to change in order for you to feel strong. You have to have started the process of repairing your relationship with yourself and are able to support yourself through the murky waters of relationship dynamics. Here's the deal. In that example I just shared, with my relationship with myself, I am looking within and seeing where I was weak. I'm not beating myself up for how I reacted. I am saying, I don't like how I showed up. How can I change? What got me to this state? Then I'm having my own back by being able to know, first of all, that I don't like how this feels, that I am going to confront it and do the work of repairing this. I could sit back and wait for Jeff to do it, but I am not going to. And I can be angry that he's not, but I'm not going to because I am the love leader and I want to help you do the same. I want to help you lead your marriage to the love relationship you desire. And if you're ready to start that work, then that is what a courageous love conversation is all about. You can book that by going to the show notes and finding the link. That is just a conversation. You get to come and be open and vulnerable, share all the things, and share what you would like to be different. Then I get to share some ways that you can start that process, and I get to share what it would be like to achieve the result that you want, even if you don't know right now what that result is. Let's talk about your unique situation and what you can do to start moving towards a new dynamic with the one you're with. Now, if you're gaining insight into dynamics of your marriage, I hope that you will take a moment to share a 5-star rating on whatever platform it is that you listen to. Write a few words about what you are taking away to help you improve your own marriage. And then if you know someone who could use some words of encouragement in their own marriage, please share the podcast with them. Let's get you to a place where you're happy in your marriage, and let's get all of your friends in that place, and let's get the whole world in that place. That is my hope and dream, to help as many people as I can get to that place of love, intimacy, and joy. Until next week, keep showing up, changing every day until one day you don't recognize your old self. I love you all. Ciao. Thank you for listening to the Awaken You podcast. If you enjoyed listening, then you have to go check out Awaken You, my one-on-one coaching program where we take all of this material and we apply it to your life. We study it and we take it to your next level so that you can awaken you in your marriage. For any questions, comments, or coaching issues you'd like to hear on the podcast, please visit me on my website, and together, let's awaken you.